Well, hello once again. We're going to jump right into our theme verse for the series. If you are using a paper outline, grab that out of the booklet. Follow along, or if you're on the app, click over there on notes. We're going to look at our theme verse one last time together. This verse speaks to what we have been praying happens in us and through us during this series and really this entire spiritual journey. So Colossians 1:6, I want us to read this out loud together in our outside voices. Ready? Begin. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. If you're taking old school notes, pen and paper, underline or circle those last three words, God's wonderful grace. Because that's what a ripple effect is all about. Jesus' transformation, God's wonderful grace, changing us wave after wave and then going out from us to the people around us and the world around us wave after wave. And that's what has been happening throughout this series and really the first year of this spiritual journey. I have a real privilege to sit on the other side of meetings that talk about our gatherings every week like this. Where all of our pastors get together and we've had conversations after weekends with leaders and kids and students. We've been talking to our growth group leaders. And I'm privileged to sit in meetings where I hear stories about ripple effects, wave after wave after wave, every single week. And throughout this series, in all of our churches, we've been hearing some amazing stories. People coming to faith in Jesus in the services over the last 5 weeks. People being baptized in our churches over the last 5 weeks. Amazing things happening in our kids' ministries and student ministries. If you're in our growth groups, I've heard great stories of significant conversations and spiritual decisions that people have been making in people's homes and in coffee shops all over the city and all over our county. And this is what God's wonderful grace does. It comes wave after wave. And if we're open to it, it changes us and it changes people around us. And so on this special commitment weekend, what I want to do is just re-clarify what this spiritual journey is all about. What are the things that we are continuing to ask God for and say, God, this is what we want you to do in us and through us. And so if you're taking notes today, and I'm going to encourage you to do so, write this down. The first one is this. This journey is all about movement. This journey is all about movement. It's all about us declaring as people and as a church that we don't want to stay the same. That we want to keep moving forward in step with God's Spirit, because God's Spirit is always doing a new thing. Now, God never changes. God's nature, his character, they never change. Scripture says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what God does changes in every generation and in every season. And so this spiritual journey, this cannonball journey, it is about us as individuals in a community saying, you know what, we're not going to let off the gas of staying in step with God's Spirit. In fact, we're going to push the pedal to the metal. That we're going to say, Jesus, we want to be a part of the new thing that you are doing. Scripture says that God's mercies are new every morning. And so this is about us saying, God, we want to continually be moving as individuals and as a church community. We should always be changing. We should always be moving forward. Now, if you've been with us throughout this series, you know each week we focused on a different movement that we want to make. And I want to give you one last one this week. And if you missed any of the previous messages, you can always go back online and you can follow along. But just to give you a few, for example, we talked about in week number one, we want to go from me to we. In week number two, from holding on to letting go. We went through all these different things. But let me just give you the one today, okay? Here's the last movement that we want to make today. We want to move from comfortable to committed. Go ahead and write that in there. We want to make the movement from being comfortable to being committed. Now, we are a culture of comfort. We like being comfortable. I like being comfortable, and so do you, and we're willing to pay a lot for it. We like comfortable shoes and comfortable clothes and comfortable cars and comfortable homes. Ladies, you like comfort so much, you've successfully turned yoga pants into everyday wear. That's amazing. Well done, okay? I mean, they've gone from yoga pants. They're called yoga pants because they're meant for yoga, and you've turned them into like Target pants, where you wear them at Target. And I've even heard recently that guys are getting in on this. I don't know if you've heard this. This is true. They're called meggings, man leggings. I'm sorry, bro. Those are yoga pants. You're wearing women's pants, okay? Let's just call it what it is. But we like comfort. We like comfortable shoes and comfortable clothes and comfortable cars and comfortable homes. And in America, you know what else we like? We like comfortable churches. And there's nothing wrong with comfort in shoes and clothes and homes and cars. Nothing wrong with any of that. But Jesus never said, I came to make your life comfortable. Never in the words of Jesus. Yet in our American culture, that's what a lot of us think the church is. It's a place that's supposed to, you know, make us comfortable. Let me give you two understandings of this, two different ways to view the church. Kind of the comfort way to view the church would be through the analogy of a cruise ship. By show of hands, how many have ever been on a cruise? Hold them up. Yeah, if it's a good one, it can be amazing. I'd never been on a cruise before until a few years ago. We met, my family met up in Florida, and we did like a big old family reunion on a Disney cruise. It was amazing. I experienced what heaven will be like. It was incredible. They you don't lift a finger. They take your luggage to your room when you arrive. We had our own set place, our own dinner table with our own server. It was like multiple course meals every night. That was incredible. Our server was incredible. I mean, by the time you would, you know, go to do something, they were already there cleaning the table. And I mean, it was incredible. They had turned down service. We'd come back from a movie or a show at night, and someone had come in the room, and they had made the room bed earlier, but now they went ahead and pulled the sheets back, so you didn't even have to do that yourself. And they put a little piece of chocolate on every pillow. I made sure to be the first one in the room every single day. Not only that, there was ice cream available 24/7 on this ship. Jesus loves me, this I know, for ice cream tells me so. I mean, it was like, wow. It was an incredible experience. Everything we could ever want, everything we could ever need, and we didn't have to lift a finger. And a lot of people think, well, that's church. And so we show up to church with this American comfort mindset. And it's like, well, when I show up, that up-close parking space better be there, right? And I want to check the kids in, and I don't want any lines or any computer problems. And I want the coffee to be hot and the creamer to be fat. The music better be good. The pastor better be funny, but not too long. And if all those things are to my liking, then at the end, I might do what I do at the end of a cruise. Give a little tip. But cruise ship is not what Jesus said his church should be like. Let me give you another example of a ship that is much more like the church. How many of you, by show of hands, have ever been on a Navy ship? Hold them up. Yeah, we're a Navy town, baby. Do they have turn down service on a Navy ship? Is somebody putting little pieces of chocolate there for you? No. You see, on a Navy ship, everybody has a part to play and a job to do. On a Navy ship, everybody understands what the overall mission is and that their responsibility is to simply play their part to help the entire mission be successful. And this is what a church is. The church doesn't exist to bless me, feed me, do for me, you know, comfort me. That's not the example of the church. The church exists to be a place where, yes, you are cared for. Yes, you are known. Yes, you are believed in. Yes, you are discipled, helped to become more like Jesus. But then the church exists for the world. We're to be sent back out into the world on mission, playing our part in God's great kingdom story. That's what the church is. And so that leads us to this second thing the journey is all about. Write this down. This journey is all about 100% participation. 100% participation. Everybody playing their part. Everybody doing their job. You see, if you're a guest today, I'm so glad you're here because you get to see people that actually take Jesus and his words and his mission seriously. You know, like we actually believe that Jesus is who Scripture says he is, the Son of God. We actually believe that Jesus did what Scripture says that he did, which is he died on a cross, took the sin of the world upon himself, and as we're going to celebrate in a couple weeks at Easter, that his resurrected life gives us new life. We actually believe that. And we actually believe that we are to do the things that Scripture says the church, which is people, are to do in this world. That we are supposed to be peacemakers and joy givers and hope dealers in a broken world. We actually believe those things. And so if you're a guest today, you got to know you're not showing up around a group of people that are here to check religious boxes, that we have some weird guilt complex with God that we're like, man, we better, you know, appease the angry God. And woo, we went to church. We're good for another week. Like, that's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to be the church. We're trying to say, God, we want to take our place in your great kingdom of God story, in our generation, in this moment, in the Jesus story. And I am so grateful to be a part of a church where the vast majority of people are playing their part, where they're jumping in and they take this mission seriously, where we can all show up in our imperfection and in our mess and experience the grace of God and be changed by God, but then say, man, together, we're going to live on Jesus' mission in this community and beyond. One of my favorite things throughout this series has been hearing the faith stories of regular people in our church just like you. Every week, if you've been here, we've shared a video story from somebody who is leading the way, stepping out in faith, trusting God. And if you've been in growth groups, you've been hearing those stories too. And that's been my favorite thing, whether it's in my growth group on Sunday night that my wife and I have at our house, or whether it's in our services, to just hear the stories of faith from people of all ages and all life stages who are jumping in on this with us. And so before we make our commitments today, in just a couple of moments, I want you to hear once again from some of your peers. These are people sitting by you. These are people serving your kids. These are people leading in our student ministries. People have taken great steps of faith. And as you hear them, I want them to inspire us to take our own steps today. Watch this.
Pray fervently. Commit fully. Help us reach our goal of 100% participation.
Cannonball has been about all of us, all ages, all life stages, declaring that we want to be a community of people that are jumping all in with Jesus on this mission and then make some Kingdom of God waves together.
Giving to a church for me was not something regularly that I did. And once Cannonball came up, you know, the commitment series, I really had to pray about it and then pray with my family too and talk to my peers because, you know, I'm young, I'm 21, and so not a whole lot of money to be saving up my whole life to give. And so that was a huge step for me of just kind of getting out of my comfort zone, not just financially, but in all aspects of life for me.
Once I got into that Cannonball growth group with the guys the first time, they were all talking about their tithe, and I'm kind of just sitting there going, all right, well, we're nowhere. We don't do that. But sitting in a group one day, talking with everybody, I just got the voice of Jesus telling me, test me. Test me. Give me your finances and test me and see where it takes us. It really has been easier than expected. We've been able to see the things that the church are doing, how it's being helped around the community. It's just amazing.
We already tithe and give to the church, so giving extra was, we had to reevaluate everything. So we had discussed it together on how much more we can give.
What we're looking for in the last, you know, kind of season of Cannonball is to really just finish strong and think about what God has for us next.
You know, for me, I have been giving for a long time. When I made the commitment, when he showed me the amount, I was quite shocked. but I decided to trust him. He is faithful, and he wants you to grow in him and to trust him and to know that he has all the challenges. He's resolved it. He's way ahead of us, and he's there.
Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And for me, I definitely feel by giving to this initiative, my heart has definitely been with God.
I think about the different churches that are going to come out of this, the different pastors, the different leaders, the people who are going to accept Christ in their lives, and how just doing that, making that one decision, can have a ripple effect, and not just in their lives, but in lives of other people for generations to come.
when we first started tithing, I had a little rough start with it. My wife, she was all in. The cannonball has since let us refocus on what the bigger picture is, what our church is doing, and how we're giving to our community and helping outside of the community, going abroad. That right there, I was all about it. I was all in. I felt like this Cannonball Initiative was speaking to us that we really needed to expand our generosity.
You have to really believe that you're playing a part and that there is a mission, there is a greater good, a greater cause.
And for me to know that I can somehow, in some way, my small way, make a difference, you know, blesses me.
Coming together as a group, we could really have a great impact on the community and throughout the world.
With Cannonball, I realized that it was time to stop. Like, you can't keep making excuses. If you don't start doing it now, you're never going to do it. It doesn't matter how much money you give or if it's not your definition of enough. Like, you're contributing to something that's a lot bigger than you. Like, you're contributing to the mission of Jesus. And that's why I was like, I have to commit. Like, this is something that Jesus is calling me to do. This is something that it's in the Bible. I can't just make excuses for myself and feel sorry for me when it's the right thing to do.
I love those stories of faith and hope and trust. And that represents people, and you saw it, of all life stages and all ages and all different places on their spiritual journey. But I hope you caught the common thread through each story. Did you catch it? And it's what Jesus wants to do in and through you and I when we give. You see, what giving and generosity does, it doesn't just change things out there. Jesus said it changes things in here. And this is what I want for you. Look at Luke chapter 12. These are the words of Jesus to his followers and to us today. Here's what Jesus said. My little flock, don't be afraid. God is your father, and your father's great joy is to give you his kingdom. That means you can sell your possessions, you can give generously to the poor, you can have a different kind of savings plan, one that never depreciates, one that never defaults, one that can't be plundered by crooks or destroyed by natural calamities. Your treasure will be stored in the heavens, and since your treasure is there, let's read the rest of this verse out loud together, ready, go. Your heart will be lodged there as well. You see, Jesus was saying abundantly clear that if you want to move your heart, you have to move your money. That if you want to care about kingdom of God things, you have to invest yourself in kingdom of God things. In week number two, I shared this illustration, and I want to remind us of it again. Here's what we said, that this rope represents, imagine that this rope represents your life, right? And it goes on forever and ever and ever, and this rope never ends. Because scripture teaches that you are not just a self, that when you take your last breath in this body on this planet, that you cease to exist. Scripture teaches that you and I are a living soul with a divine destiny in God's great universe. That's who every human being is. And so what we said is, imagine that this rope represents all of our lives, which will go on forever and ever and ever. But this little green part, it represents the maybe 60, 70, 80, 90, if we're lucky, that we get on this planet in this body. And the rest of the rope represents us for all of eternity. And Jesus spent a lot of his time talking about the reality that how we live here will determine where we live and how all of eternity is spent forever and ever and ever. But what's crazy is that there's this deception in our world that makes all of us pretty much exclusively only think about and invest ourselves in this little part of the rope right here. That everything we do is live for the here and now and for self. And we build our lives around our wants and our desires, and that we do everything for this little moment right here. And really, with the exception of attending a friend's funeral, do we ever think about life down here forever and ever and ever? And what we've said that this cannonball journey is all about, it is about us as a community of people and us as individuals saying that we are going to be a church that lives with the rest of the rope in mind. That we're not just going to invest ourselves and our resources into the here and now, but we're going to invest ourselves and our resources into what lasts forever. And Jesus taught that there's only two things that last forever. Only two. People and the kingdom of God. Those are the two things that last forever. And so this has been all about us saying that we are going to be a church, that we are going to live with the rest of the rope in mind, not just this little part right here. And that leads us to the last thing this journey is all about. Go ahead and write this down. This journey is all about generosity. This journey is all about generosity. After you write that down, everybody look up here because I want you to hear this next statement and my explanation really, really clear. Understand that generosity is not just our means to our mission, and it is not our way to accomplish the goal. God is not asking us to be generous just so that we can care for more than 500 orphans and children at an orphanage and school in Uganda that our church is over 90% of all funding for, that we just take care of every single month. God is not asking us to be generous just so we can build homes for families in extreme poverty just across the border. God is not asking us to be generous just so we can rescue women and children out of human trafficking right here in our own county, and where we 100% fund what was the first safe house for women and girls coming out of human trafficking in our county. We 100% fund that every single month. God is not asking us to be generous just for that. God is not asking us to be generous just so that we can raise up next generation leaders in all of our students and our kids' ministries. God is not asking us to be generous just so we can start new churches and raise up new pastors and send them out. Make no mistake, generosity is the mission. God is asking us to be generous. Here's why. Because generosity makes us like Jesus. That's why. Generosity doesn't just change things out there. It changes things in here. And please know that generosity is about so much more than just sharing our resources that God generously gives us. That is usually the thing that unlocks generosity in all of our lives. If you want to be generous with your time, if you want to be generous with your words, if you want to be generous with forgiveness, if you want to be generous in prayer, you want to know what it takes? Have any generous spirit, because generosity makes you like Jesus. And so, but most of us, we're not generous in those other areas of our life because we haven't unlocked generosity, because we're still holding on and hoarding on to everything that comes to us like it's just for us. And if you'll learn to unlock that, you will experience generosity in every other area of your life, because you're going to be like Jesus. You see, if you have a generous spirit, you're going to be willing to offer forgiveness to people that hurt you, because you're going to be like Jesus. You're going to be like our Savior, who was willing and is willing to forgive us when we turn our back on him. If you have a generous spirit, you're going to be willing to give people your time that need compassion, that need a listening ear, that need someone to pick them up when they're down. And you're not going to look at it like, oh, I can't believe I have to go talk with them. If you have a generous spirit, you're going to be willing to give your time in prayer for your friends who do not yet know Jesus yet. You see, generosity, it changes us. It makes us more like Jesus, and we will be more like Jesus, and all those things that we want to accomplish, we're still going to get to do. We're going to be more like Jesus, and we're going to care for orphans. We're going to be more like Jesus, and we're going to build homes. We're going to be more like Jesus, and we're going to rescue women and girls. We're going to be more like Jesus, and we're going to raise up leaders and send them out to start new churches to reach people. We get all of that, and we are like our Savior. I want us to read our last verse together. Matthew 20, 28. Let's read this out loud. Ready, begin. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as the ransom for many. We are most like Jesus when we serve and when we give. And so what we are inviting you into in this last 12 months of the journey is an opportunity through your commitment and generosity to not just be a part of some amazing things that we're going to do together, but what I'm inviting you into is to be more like Jesus 12 months from now. To be more like him, to have a generous spirit in all aspects of life. In a moment, I'm going to give us about 3 minutes of prayer and time of reflection to write out these cards and make our commitments today. But I want to give you some specific instructions. So I'm going to invite everybody to go ahead and get these back in your hand if you would. And you're going to need both things. So again, don't lose that little tag. I want you to have the tag and I want you to have the commitment card. And again, if you're a guest today, zero expectations on you. But if this is your church, I want to invite you to take whatever step Jesus tells you to do, okay? Our goal is 100% participation. That if this is your church, I want you to be a part of this with us. Here's what we're going to do. Let me just remind you of one of the three steps that we're inviting everybody to take. Everyone open this up and open it up to the left side where it says jump in. And you might be here and maybe you didn't make a 12-month or a commitment with us a year ago to Cannonball. And so that first box there, it says, I'm new to Cannonball. Maybe you weren't even a part of our church, or maybe you weren't at a place in your spiritual journey that you were ready to do something like this. But you're with us now and you go, you know what, I want to jump in on this last 12 months. And so for you, that would be making a new commitment and jumping in with us. Then there's two other groups of us that you might be here and you made a 24-month, a two-year commitment a year ago. And it doesn't mean that it's been easy to keep that commitment. You might be on pace, you might be a little bit behind, but you feel like, you know what, I want to commit today just to finish strong. And even if you're going, I might be a little behind, I'm not sure if I'm going to keep that up, here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to invite you to show the same faith today that you showed a year ago. And to say, God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to see you show yourself faithful to me and grow me as I reaffirm that commitment to finish strong in this last year. But there's a third group of us that we made a commitment last year, but maybe you've had an increase in faith or an increase in finances, and I want to invite you to join my wife, Rebecca, and I as we are enlarging our commitment for this last 12 months. A year ago, we made the largest financial commitment that we've ever made in our 20 years of marriage. And we just felt like as we prayed leading up to this moment that God was inviting us to kind of stretch our faith and to trust him a little bit more. And so there's another group, maybe you're on pace, maybe you're even a little bit ahead and you're like, man, we're gonna be able to do this. And maybe today God would invite you to trust him a little more. And here's what I want you to do. You listen to the Holy Spirit and you say yes to what God is asking you to do. I will listen to the Holy Spirit and say yes to what God is asking me to do. And what we've found for 25 years in our church's story across our network is that when everybody does that, like a Navy ship, everybody just says, I'm going to do my part, that together we can do some pretty great things. And so what I want you to do is I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to give you 3 minutes. And I want you to fill out this entire left side with whatever section is appropriate for your step today. And then I want you to write your name or your family name on this tag. So I'm going to write the Grogan Five. I know that sounds like a superhero group, and it is. But that represents my family, myself, my wife, and our three kids. And then when I come back, I'm going to tell us how we're going to receive these and a really cool thing that we're going to do together. But let me pray for us, and then I'm going to give you 3 minutes. I want you just to stay seated, and you might need to talk about this as a couple. After you fill it out, maybe you just hold it together and say a prayer, and then I will come back and tell us how we're going to receive these. Let me pray for us right now. God, I thank you for every person and every family that is here. And Lord, I pray in this moment that you would help us be sensitive to your Spirit. God, I pray for boldness and courageous faith. Now, I know for many of us, this is the first time that we're going to make a commitment like this. That our story is that we were far from God, and this is the first church we've ever been in, and it'll be the first time we ever make a financial commitment. God, I pray that in this moment, as this physical act of writing something down, it represents a spiritual commitment in our life. That we're saying we are a people that live with the rest of the rope in mind, that we want to invest ourselves in what Jesus says lasts forever. And so God, give us ears to hear and give us courageous faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a few minutes and then I'll lead us in how we're going to receive these. Thank you.
Thank you.